This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The American Lung Association released its annual report recently about the state of the country's air, giving letter grades to states and counties. Bexar County got an F in ozone pollution. Ozone is a molecule that can lead to some serious health issues with prolonged exposure. Does San Antonio have a plan for combating this pollution, or is it just a product of the winds are blowing? Is ozone pollution just a part of increased urbanization? Should we expect clean air? Is this just a price we pay for living in a big city? We invite you to join our conversation about your expectations about your air. Call us at 614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org and go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, Janice Nolan, is the Assistant Vice President of National Policy at the American Lung Association. She helped write the report, and she joins us to explain the findings on how we compare nationally. Welcome, Janice.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
Also joining Janice, we have Peter Bella. He's an ozone researcher from the Alamo Area Council of Governments, and he is here to talk about the specifics for Bexar County. Welcome, Peter.
Thank you so much, Dave.
So, Janice, tell me more about this report that y'all did about the state of the nation's air. Kind of give me a view of, from the national view, and then we'll focus more in on Bexar County.
Sure. As you mentioned, this is our 14th annual report. We've been doing this report since the year 2000, and I've been looking basically at air quality trends since the late 1990s. This year's report looks at the data from 2009, 10, and 11, so it's a little bit, but it's the most, it's a little bit dated, but it's the most current quality assured data across the nation. And we look at cities that have monitors, counties that have monitors across the country. So we have about information on all of the major cities, but not on every county. There's only a monitor in about 900 of the over 3,000 counties. But it still tells us a lot about how the air quality has changed over the last 14 years. And I'm pleased to say that we've made great strides. One of the things that this report has been showing the last few years is the progress that we've made since we started doing the report and since periods in the last decade when air quality was much worse, that the tools that we've put in place have really been effective at helping us to clean up. Now, we're still in a challenge. Obviously, cities like San Antonio making an F show us that we still haven't reached healthy air, but we definitely have made great improvements. As we see, I've seen this year's report, a lot of places that had gotten even better last year had a little bit worse time in our report this year, showing that perhaps the summer heat in the ozone season, especially in Texas, seemed to have increased the number of days in a lot of the places. So some of the ozone values that had actually been going down actually went back up a little bit. But still, it's a great improvement over where it was even within the last decade.
Now, you are the American Lung Association. This may seem like a no-brainer, but spell it out for me. What is the air quality lung connection?
The lungs are the place that you are first exposed to air pollution, the most sensitive areas in your body. Ozone especially creates what's sometimes called a sunburn on the lung, or as one doctor told me, it's like having a piece of sandpaper and rubbing into the lung tissue. But the lungs are very sensitive to that, and they react badly when you do that to your lungs. It makes it more difficult to breathe. It makes you cough and wheeze. If you've got asthma or another lung disease, it can make it even harder for you to breathe and can send you to the hospital or the emergency room. But even more than that, we now understand that ozone especially has lots of other harms. EPA just issued a final report in February looking at the science talking about this. And while the lungs are the first organ, they're not the only organs that are affected. And now we understand better that cardiovascular system may be affected. The central nervous system may be affected. Even the reproductive and developmental systems. In other words, it may result in not only things like heart attacks, but it may also result in children being born low birth weight. One of the things that's been well established in the last few years is that ozone can actually kill you, that breathing too much ozone can increase the likelihood that you would die earlier. So this is a very serious health threat that we have often just sort of dismissed because it is something that we fortunately made great strides in cleaning up, but we need to recognize it's still a problem, still a serious health threat, and still a threat to life in the United States at levels that we currently have.
So what about in dollars and cents when we talk about how much it costs to treat people dealing with chronic asthma, or bronchitis, and these other respiratory problems versus the cost for helping clean up our air?
We don't estimate that as a lung association, but I will say that annually EPA has to provide that information to the White House and has for many years, and they send it to Congress because Congress asked for something called the unfunded mandate law, and they have asked the White House to respond every year on the costs and benefits of federal rules. And the air rules that EPA puts in place, which include things like cleaning up the ozone but also cleaning up particle pollution, when they do these analyses, they pull those out separately. And the benefits outweigh the cost, usually 2 to 3 to 1, as much as $21 to $30 to $1. These are hugely analyzed activities, and the benefits inevitably outweigh the costs. Especially when you're looking at things like ending people's lives. We're talking about the value of a human life being something that is part of that equation.
Now, I don't know if you can tease out this information about Bexar County or Texas. What can you tell us about how we did in the report?
Well, Bexar County in San Antonio had actually a much better year 2 years ago in our report than it did this past year, but it was next to the best since we started doing the report. We had recorded on average 5.7 days of unhealthy air for each of the 3 years, and that was the same as in the last year's report. And in the year before that, the report, it was 5.3, so it's a little bit worse, but not bad. The worst year that we saw was the period 2002 to 2004, when you had 22.3 days on average on health. So you've really improved significantly in the last decade on how much ozone is in the air. And this is something I think people need to remember, is that we have made great progress and that we can continue to make great progress. There are some tools that are being considered that I think will help to reduce ozone as well in the future.
Like what tools?
One of the things that EPA is taking comments on right now is cleaning up gasoline and cleaning up vehicles. This is something that would be really helpful to a city like San Antonio, because it's not something that you're going to be able to do by yourself, is to require cleaner, lower sulfur gasoline. And what that will do is actually make the existing emission systems within any car, regardless of the age, actually work better, so that we'll get less emissions out of that, out of your cars and out of your gasoline-powered vehicles, even without changing anything on the car. It just makes it work better. So if we can clean up the gasoline and then also clean up the vehicles, there's some proposed standards that would help a lot too.
Janice Nolan, we got to let you go. I know you're busy. Assistant Vice President, National Policy, American Lung Association. Going to continue the conversation about San Antonio air after the break. Join the conversation, 614-8980. And welcome back to The Source on KSTX. We're talking about San Antonio's air quality. Looks pretty good today after that storm last night, but some days you look outside and you don't see a whole lot. You see a whole lot of haze. We're going to tell you what that means. Join the conversation. If you've got someone in your household who deals with respiratory ailments, they can tell you when it's an ozone action day. They don't need to look on the website. They know because they feel it. Give us a call, 614-8980. We're going to continue the conversation now with Peter Bella. He's an ozone researcher from the the Alamo Area Council of Governments. Peter, welcome.
Thank you, sir.
So ACOG, as we know the organization to in a shorthand, how concerned are you that it was an F on the national report?
Well, I actually have a couple of reactions on that score. One is that on the one hand, I feel it's perhaps a little harsh, since that's the same score we've been getting for many years, and San Antonio has long had very good air quality. That's the same F you'd have to give to areas in Texas like Dallas, Houston, some of the big boys who are in violating federal air quality
standards. Non-compliance is
what
we hear that all the time.
That's right. So that seems a little harsh. Yet on the other hand, I'd have to admit that in the past couple of years, kind of as a flip to what Ms. Nolan was saying, We are tracking numbers that seem to be increasing in ozone levels.
So should we have gotten an F minus or F plus? F plus.
Well, perhaps I'm the easy, lenient kind of teacher. I'm not sure what the letter score would be, but it is true that we have reached a point where we really need to be more vigilant than we have in the past and be making greater efforts than we have in the past if we're going to stay out of that non-compliance bucket that Houston, Dallas, and a lot of other folks are in.
Now, what happens when we finally get into that bucket of non-compliance? Because that's dangled over our heads
The sword
long.
Of Damocles.
Yes.
Right. The first thing that happens is we sit down at a table with the state of Texas, with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, because the requirements are split to the state and federal and local agencies. So we sit down with them and begin to talk about where the new rules and the new reality will be in practice. It's called the non-attainment boundary. How large will that be? How many counties? How many cities? Who? Then we start to talk turkey about what sort of classification we've been placed in, depending on how bad your air quality was when you were found in violation. Then you start a whole conversation about what kind of reductions need to be made. Typically, those kind of reductions look at business and industry, the folks who are polluting right now. They have to clean up their act. They have to make improvements to their technology so they pollute less. And anybody who's new to the community and wants to set up an emitting entity, a business or industry that would pollute, they have to follow some new rules, new to the region.
So things get more complicated,
that's
basically,
right.
Is the short answer.
Yeah. Yes. That's
And so what happens if we become non-compliant and then I go pull up to the gas station and so suddenly there's a lot more little gizmos on the nozzle?
Well, actually, those are sunsetting. That is, the requirements for vapors that escape from your gas tank have been handled by the engine manufacturers. They now put gizmos on the cars so that those vapors don't escape. The sleeves you see on pumps in places like El Paso, Houston, and Dallas probably, well, they wouldn't be required here in San Antonio. If our air quality is bad enough, however, there would be a requirement for emissions checking. When you have a safety check for TxDOT, you drive your car in and they check the tires and the lights and the brakes and all that kind of good stuff. They would also check to see how polluting your vehicle was with a sensor in your tailpipe.
So your inspection sticker is more comprehensive.
That's right. The inspection process, the annual vehicle inspection process.
Okay. Well, let's go to the phones. Sean wants to jump in on the conversation. Sean, welcome to The Source.
Hi. I just had a comment. I think it's a great idea what you're talking about with the inspection, the emissions and stuff. When I last time I was in Austin, the public transit was free on Ozone Action Days. And I was just curious if that has had any impact on Austin's air quality and why we can't do the same thing in San Antonio.
That's great. Sean brings up, thinking outside of the box, coming up with new ideas, getting people to get off the gas tank and figure out ways to reduce our emissions. Is that something that could be happening here?
It could be. And part of the idea is that there's, as Commissioner Tommy Atkinson likes to say, there are no silver bullets, there are only silver BBs. We have to look at putting together a lot of planning process, a lot of reduction processes to get where we need to go. I think that sort of process, perhaps we can take that to VIA and see if they would be game for taking on the same process. They are already selling reduced costs and even in some cases free fares for some of the agencies downtown so that those folks can park elsewhere and use the bus to get to work and avoid downtown congestion. So they are en route, and they've also purchased, they have 3 electric buses. They have a number of natural gas powered buses that are much cleaner than the standard diesel engines. So VIA is one of the agencies that is being responsible, and there are a lot of others around the region.
We talk a lot about ozone right now, and the main contributor to ozone is vehicles.
It is.
Cars. But particulates is the other pollution thing we need to be thinking about. And where are we on that? That seems to be going down, right?
We're fine so far with the particulate numbers. There are actually a couple of federal standards for finer particulates and for coarse particulates, 2 different standards. But we're okay with them. We're okay so far. Places like El Paso have a special challenge because dust can add to those particulate numbers, and they have a problem when they get a windstorm come through.
And so if you want to call in and join the conversation, talk about San Antonio's air quality, the number to call is 614-8980. And we talked about earlier about the connection with asthma and respiratory illness, and how is that in San Antonio? Does ACOG track that?
We don't track occurrences of asthma. No, we don't. But I know anecdotally, I have some friends who are pharmacists, or a friend in particular who's a pharmacist, and he says on an air quality health alert day, as we call the ozone action days, the inhalers fly off the shelves. That's his comment.
So, yeah. So, but why don't y'all track that stuff? Why? I mean, it seems that's what people don't get the connection frequently that they are being directly impacted by the air pollution.
The way the federal laws are written, the federal laws are health risk based. And we haven't had, frankly, the resources to do the kind of comprehensive local study that I think we would like to do. Based on other comments I've heard from citizens that says, what are the full effects in the San Antonio region? We generally pretty much base we work with the federal air quality standards, and that's our metric.
Now, we're having a lot of development with the Eagle Ford Shale, and I know that in the Barnett Shale, that contributed quite a bit to air pollution up in the Fort Worth area. Is there a lot of concern about what the Eagle Ford Shale could be doing for our air quality in San Antonio?
All I can really speak to is what I know of as my interest. A lot of the pollution sources, like you're saying, cars and trucks, cement production, power generation, those are pretty well understood and characterized in our area because we've all grown up with them. They're standard processes in a certain sense, and we know how to make estimations. But the Eagle Ford is brand new kid on the block. So right now, the Council of Governments, our Natural Resources Department, is engaged with stakeholders in the Eagle Ford, with some of the producers, their technical staff, and TCEQ, Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, to develop an emissions inventory for ozone precursors that come out of the Eagle Ford. But it is a real question because those diesel engines, the pumps, the generators,
the big trucks,
all of them, that's right. Those are all sources for ozone precursors. And we've got to be careful. We've got to know.
Back to the phones. Nancy wants to join the conversation. Nancy, welcome to The Source.
Hi, welcome. Thank you. I'm happy to hear the topic. I was just wanting to comment. I was at a San Antonio Manufacturers Association meeting back in the 90s at a luncheon when someone came from the EPA and said that we were headed down a slippery slope. This is back in the 90s, and that we were not going to be ordered yet to do anything mandatory, but these were the different things that we could start doing to clean up our air. Here we are in 2013. Why do we have to wait for federal guidelines when all we have to do is look at the health statistics of what's happening with our children and with the elderly? And just you and I walking down the street when the air quality is bad. We know what we need to do. We just need to get going and start doing it.
Okay, Nancy. So thank you for your call. So Nancy wants to know why wait? Why not to take care of these things now?
I would very much encourage Nancy to come to some of our public air quality meetings. We have the executive committee meetings for the Air Improvement Resources Committee every quarter. The next one will be on July 24th. I would love to see more citizens come and make comments to our local elected officials that says we need to be active, we need to be proactive, we need to be part of the solution ahead of the curve. I would note, though, on her comments that may have been the 90s when there was a comment about how we're on a slippery slope. We're still not in non-attainment. That's not to say our air quality is as good as it needs to be. It's not. But we continue to make progress.
Okay, we've got one more caller. I want to get him on the air. Steven, you're on the source.
Thank you. I've got a question about diesel trucks that are out there seemingly idling for hours and hours on end. And I think there should be something that would curtail that, some kind of police or somebody regulations that need to be enforced. And also maybe some agreements with big fleets like Express News or somebody that will voluntarily keep their fleets from idling more than 10 or 15 minutes without shutting the engine down.
Stephen, thank you for your call. And so, Peter, any reaction to that?
Absolutely. I think he's absolutely right. We'll be working with the city of San Antonio to take a look at anti-idling ordinances for those heavy diesel vehicles, because he's absolutely right. And it is true that we continue to voluntarily ask through our what's called a Clean Cities program we're continue to ask for partnerships in folks who have fleets like that to reduce their idle times. HEB is one of our partners in that effort.
We're getting ready to go into our ozone season, aren't we?
April 1 is the beginning.
But we're going to get to that heat. The heat kind of creates the
That's
ozone
right.
effect in San Antonio. So I guess there's really nothing we can do, individually, just be smart about how we spend our energy or what?
You can come to the Alamo Area Council of Governments website. That's aacog.com. You can find the links there to sign up for air quality health alert notices. We will send you an email if you get on our email list to be notified when there's high ozone forecast for the next day. When you know that, we're asking schools to join with us. We're asking the public to join with us. There are a lot of things you can do on that day, a series of things you can do. For example, if you fuel up your vehicle after 5 o'clock, the bottom line is that the gasoline vapors that do escape can't go into the atmosphere and with the sunlight and heat of the day make ozone. If you do that after 5 o'clock, those same vapors won't make ozone that we end up breathing within the city. If you can trip chain, if you can make a series of trips that you know you need to make to school, to the store, even to work, if you can make them all in one series, that's another advantage. The fewer vehicle miles you travel, the more you can use mass transit, the more you can walk, the more you can bike, the better off.
And you also have a series of events coming up in May and to deal with this. So that's on your website as well. And people can check that out. And the website one more time is?
AACOG, Alamo Area Council of Governments, AACOG.com.
All right, Peter Abella, Natural Resources Director for ACOG. Thank you for joining us on The Source. That's it for this half hour. When we come back after NPR and local news, we're going to talk about Texas, big, hot, cheap, and right. Stay tuned.